This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.
When we think about what Jesus did for us, and many of us, we have experienced it all over again whenever we see or hear a song like we've just heard or seen. And my response to that is, what now? And my response to that is, what's our responsibility? Responsibility for what Jesus did for us. He saved us by grace through faith. Not of anything that we did. Not anything that we could have done. And yet, He did it for us. But as a child of God, my response is that I want Him to use me. I want each of us to prayerfully think through this question. How can God use us to the best of our ability? If you would take your Bible and open it up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Many times, as a child of God, this idea comes to our mind, is how can I be used by God? How can I be used like many of these teenagers were used? Many of these, the teenagers that you've seen, they have been used by God, not just at this church, but at several churches, to minister to others. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I don't know if I have that sort of a gift, but I have something that I can give. The heartbeat of many Christians that I have experienced and talked to has been this: how can I be used by God? Can He use me? And here's my statement. God wants to use each and every one of us. There was a village had been torn apart by war. And in this village, there was a big giant statue of Jesus with His hands like this. And He was just standing in the middle of the village. And war had torn up the village. The whole village was really desecrated. But really what struck them the most was their statue of Jesus had been obliterated. And so they began to piece back together their village. And they saw the rubble that remained of this statue of Jesus. And they said, we think that we can put our statue back together. And so they began piece by piece to put Jesus back together. But they realized one thing could not be put back together: His hands. They couldn't put it back together. It was absolutely destroyed. Everything else was intact. They were able to put everything else back together, but not the hands. And some of the villagers said, well, we can't have that. We can't have a Jesus without any hands. A Jesus without any hands is no Jesus at all. And then one of the other villagers said, I know, we'll put the caption underneath this statue that says, I have no hands but your hands. And someone came along afterwards and began to marinate on that idea and say, and with the idea that I have no hands but your hands to minister. I have no feet but your feet to go. I have no voice but your voice. He wants to use each and every one of us. He doesn't have to use us, but He has chosen to use us. And here's my point. Oftentimes we'll have this prayer, God, use me. I think we can pray a different prayer. Because God wants to use us. The prayer that I want us to have is, God, make me usable. Because when we make ourselves usable, He will wear us out. If you have found 2 Timothy chapter 2, in honor of God's word, I'm going to ask that you stand one last time as I read. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just for context, he has this verse of scripture that we're all familiar with in verse 15, where he says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He is bringing this idea of being a worker. But then in verse 20, he says this, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Dear Lord, I pray that you would speak to us from this passage. I pray, Father, that you'd help us be a tool that you can use, a holy vessel. Lord, help us be that honorable vessel, fit for the master's use, so that you can wear us out for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So in this passage here before us, we have some interesting ideas. He is not talking about salvation. He's not saying that some of us are destined to be vessels of honor and some are destined to be vessels of dishonor. That's not what he's getting at. I know that he shares that in the book of Romans. He says, "Well, God makes some to do this and some to do that, and it's not up to us." He's talking about salvation. But in this passage, he's talking about service. And his whole point in the whole passage is to say to be a vessel of honor. What does it mean to be a vessel of honor or vessel of dishonor? What is he talking about? He could be referencing utensils. This word means utensils or tools or bowls or cups or something that you have in your house. And his point is he says that in your house, in everybody's house, there are vessels that are used for honorable purposes, and then there are vessels or tools that are used for dishonorable or ordinary purposes, really, is what it's saying. I was thinking about when we used to have a dog growing up, and that dog, he ate so much dog food. He was a big dog. He was part chow, and I just remember the big, giant 20-pound bags of dog food that he would work his way through. And sometimes when I couldn't find something to pull the dog food out of, I would just get any old cup to dip in there or any old bowl to pull out all the food that he would eat. And then what would I do with that bowl? Here's a bowl, and so then I would put my Cheerios in the bowl, and then I'd put milk in it, and I would just eat that because I didn't want to clean the bowl. Is that what I would do? Some of you are wondering. No, I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But what do? We have tools for ordinary purposes or bowls for ordinary purposes. And then we have bowls for honor. You don't give your china to the dog, right? You don't spread manure into the yard with china cup, right? You don't do that. In the same way, this is what this passage is saying. In the house of God, he's talking about in the church of Jesus Christ, there are vessels that are used for honorable purposes, and then there are vessels that are used for ordinary purposes. He's referencing some are made of gold and silver, and then some are made of wood and clay. But here's the point. You say, "Well, that's me, Pastor Josh. I'm just a wooden cup or a wooden bowl. I'm just a clay bowl. That's all I'll ever be." But that's not the purpose of his statement. He's trying to say, be a vessel of gold. Be a vessel of silver. It's within our power to be more useful for the kingdom. It's within our power to be that tool that God would use for honorable purposes. God, make me usable. God, make me usable. He wants to use you. He wants you to be his hands. He wants you to be his feet. Now think about it. Every time that you minister, he's ministering. Whenever you share your faith with someone else, Jesus is talking to that individual. Whenever you are serving in the church nursery, it's as if Jesus is loving those babies. Every time that you sing a special song, using your voice to magnify God, you know what? It's Jesus using your voice. to speak to others. You teach a Sunday school class. You go and do yard work for someone who can't do yard work for themselves. You go and do disaster relief work somewhere else. You go and do something for another individual. All of that, when it's done with the right spirit, right motives, it's as if Jesus were going there and doing that. There was a youth group who would go every single month to a nursing facility, a nursing home, and they would do like a church service for this nursing home. And one guy in particular did not like it. I mean, he just was very uncomfortable. So he made excuse after excuse on how he would not go. And so, I've got this to do. I've got that to do. So I'm just not going to go. And but there was one month in particular where it seemed like everybody got sick. Everybody had, you know, just a crisis that came up. And so there was very few people that were able to go that month. And so they really put pressure on this guy to go. And so he said, okay, I'll go. And he was not a youth, but he was a youth worker. He was about 40 years old at the time. He was uncomfortable. And so what he decided to do was, there was someone in a wheelchair on this side, there was someone in a wheelchair on that side, and he was against the wall right in between those two while the church service at this nursing facility was going on. And he was nervous. He was uncomfortable. But in the middle of it, he looked down, and this older man, much older, he was weeping a little bit. He was getting so much out of the service. And this 40-year-old, he looked down and he began to empathize and sympathize. He wanted to reach out in some way, but he didn't know what to do. And so on and on the service went, and finally this older man, he reached up and held this younger man's hand. And the younger man wouldn't let go. He smiled at him, and he began to just hold his hand during the rest of the service. And at the end of it, they were able to have some time getting to know one another a little bit in the nursing facility there. And so he got to know his name, and he knew he had to leave. He said, I'm going to have to leave. And this older man, he looked up and he said, I love you. And this 40-year-old man, he looks down and he was just overcome, and he said, I love you too. And then he went home, but before he left, he said, I'm going to come back. I promise you, I'll come back. The next month comes by, and sure enough, he's there. The next month comes by, sure enough, he's there. He's sitting there holding his hand, getting to know him, reaching out with the love of Jesus to this older man. He's not able to talk very much, but he's able to get to know him a little bit. 6 or 7 months later, he comes, and that man is not there. And he's asking, where is he? And at first, he doesn't think anything of it, because sometimes it takes nurses a little bit of time to get everybody in place. And so he didn't think anything of it. But in the middle of the service, he's still not seeing him. So he steps out and he asks the nurses, you know, where is so-and-so? And they say, oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for asking. Come with me. And so they walk into his room and he's lying there. And he's hardly able to speak. But he goes up to him, and he's not even able to respond. And he's talking to him. I'm here. And then he holds his hand. And he's not able to talk very much. But on his way out, He says, I love you again. And that man squeezed his hand. And he just knew that he had heard everything that he had said. And on his way out, he's getting ready to bump into, he's almost bumping into a younger woman on her way in. And he says, excuse me. And she says, no, I've been at the door. I've been waiting to meet you. And he says, why? He says, I'm his granddaughter. And she said, I wanted to meet the man who he kept talking to me about, this man who would come by. And anyhow, he's been dying for some time. And the 40-year-old man, he said, I've noticed that. And he said, but anyways, he couldn't talk very much, but he was able to talk to me and I could hear him, the granddaughter said. And one of these times he looked up at her and said, tell Jesus that I can't be there for the service. And she said, Jesus, you're getting ready to meet Jesus. you're going to see him. And he says, I know, but I've seen him for the last several months. Every month he comes and he holds my hand and he tells me he loves Jesus. I'm going to miss him. And I won't be here to see him anymore. I say that to say this. When you minister, Jesus ministers. When you reach out and you're usable and you're pliable and you're ready to be that person, be the hands and feet of Jesus, he wants you to be. It's as if Jesus were ministering through you. Here's my question. How can you and I be a tool that God can use? How? The first thing that you find is in verse 21 here. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, if anyone cleanses himself, and notice he's not saying God cleanse you. He says, cleanse yourself. The first thing to becoming a tool that God can use is to be a clean vessel. A clean vessel. One thing for sure, I do not use dirty cups. I do not drink out of dirty cups. Do you knowingly drink out of a dirty cup? And how many times what we offer to God is a dirty vessel, a dirty cup? Sometimes you're here this morning. Maybe you say, oh God, use me. Or maybe you're saying, oh God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord. I want more of you in my life. And what you're doing is you're offering to God an empty cup, no doubt. It's empty. I need you. I need you to fill it up, but yet it's dirty. And God will not fill up a dirty vessel. He wants you to be clean. How can you be more usable? To maintain a place of cleanliness in your life. What does that mean? Sin free. It doesn't mean perfectionism. It means all of your sins confessed and up to date, so to speak. Where you are, you have no unconfessed sin in your life. Are you at a state right now where you can say, I don't have any unconfessed sin in my life? If I sin, I don't run from God. I run to Him and I say, dear God, 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sins to you, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. If He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, what's left? Nothing but righteousness. Right standing with God. Perfectly right with God. What He wants to fill. He wants to fill you. He wants to use you. But He will not use a dirty vessel. He will not use a dirty cup. What's the second thing? You see it here in verse 21. He says, He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified. Sanctified. What's that word sanctified mean? Literally, it means set apart. It doesn't just mean to be set apart from sin. It doesn't mean to be set apart from the world. You know, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. It's not just talking about that. It's being separated to a work. It's separated for someone. It's only for Him. In the Old Testament, you find several references to this idea of being set apart for God. There were utensils that were used in the temple. There were utensils used in the tabernacle. And God said, only use these utensils in the tabernacle. Only use these. These have been sanctified. These have been set apart for my purposes in here. Even the Levites themselves, they were all set apart for God. To be a vessel of honor, to be a vessel that God can use, a tool that God can use. You know what? It's being set apart for God. Does He know that you belong to Him? Does He know that you fully belong to Him? Do you? Or is there some other allegiance in your life where you belong to God, but you also belong to this other group or this other individual or this other activity? To be a tool that God can use, He not only wants you to be clean, He wants you to be set apart for Him. You go to a different store. Maybe, this we just got through with Christmas, right? And Christmas, that's the time that men go into Bath and Body Works stores, right? That's usually the only time men go into Bath and Body Works stores, usually. Except for Richard. I think Richard likes Bath and Body Works over there. But he was telling me that earlier. But other than that, Most of us, that's the time that we would go in. And what do we do when we go in? They have all of those options available. They have all of those scents, and they have all of those lotions. And then you can try out the lotions and smell it for yourself. And then you can dip your hand into the cream there and do whatever you're going to do with that. And then you just go around and you can try out everything there. But then there comes a time for you to buy it. And you say, I'm going to buy this. And you take this half-used cup of cream, and that's what you buy. Is that right? No, of course that's not what you buy. That store owner, store manager, he runs back and he says, here, this is the one that you want. And he says, there's a seal on it. And that seal means it's only for you. It's only for you. Nobody else gets to use it. It's just yours. No one else has tried it. It's just yours. Now that's what God's word means when he says you've been set apart for him. You haven't been set apart to be someone else, someone else's, and belong to someone else. 1 Corinthians says that to glorify God in your body, which are his, that you belong to him. You were bought with a price. He bought and paid for you. What he did on the cross. What he did on the cross, he bought you, he paid for you. And you know what? Something called sanctification, setting apart, a sealing of the Holy Spirit marks you as his. And he offers you, and you are offered to him as wholly his. Have you been set apart for him? Third thing I want you to see. Not only clean, not only set apart for him, but look here in verse 21. Useful for the master. Useful for the master. How do I become a tool that God can use? Are you useful? What's the most useful tool that you could ever own? It's the tool that you need for the job that you have. You know, all I need is a hammer. And I thought that for a long time. All I needed was a hammer. But you know what I found out? That if all you ever use is a hammer, then you look at every problem as a nail. You look at every problem as a nail just to be beat, right? Every problem is a nail. How many of you have ever tried to screw something with a knife? Anybody ever screwed something with a knife? I've done it myself. I've seen grown men, use keys to clean their ears out. It ain't right. That's all I'm saying. It's not right. how many of y'all have ever hammered something with a screwdriver? Oh, come on now. I've hammered several things with a screwdriver, and it just doesn't work, right? Here's my point. What does it mean to be useful to God? It means to be what He intended for you to be. It means for you to function in your giftedness, to be useful to Him, to not try to be what someone else is, to not try to have the gifts and skill set that someone else has. What do you have to offer to God? It's not what everybody else has. But if everybody just looks at one or two individuals and says, I wish I could teach like so-and-so, I wish I could sing like so-and-so, I wish I could play like so-and-so, Or I wish I was that good with children like so-and-so, or that good with adults. If all of us thought that way, then we'd all be hammers. And when God needs to use a screwdriver, He doesn't need a hammer. He needs a screwdriver. When God needs a saw, He doesn't need a plane. He needs a saw. You know, if we really are His hands and feet, then we're available when He needs us. You know, just the fact that my hands aren't detached from my body and they're not detached from my mind. You know, we're the body of Christ. And we are intended to not always do everything, to always do. If I had my hands always doing this right here, you know, while I'm sitting here talking to you, then that's a disobedient hand. It's supposed to sit at my side until I'm ready for it to do something. Is that true? In the same way, sometimes you've got individuals who say, well, I'm just going to do something for the Lord, and I'm just going to do this over here, and I'm going to do that over there, and I'm going to do this over here, and really, you're not listening to God. Number one, you may not be skilled in that way. You may not be gifted in that way. You may not be useful to him, and you're doing more damage than good. Wait for his direction. Wait for him to tell you, pick up that cup. Then you go pick up the cup. Put it to my mouth. Okay, now it's time to do that. Speak when he tells you to speak. All of us are not gifted in the same way. This is a refreshing idea when you can come to a place in your Christian walk where you say, I can't be so-and-so. You know, for me, I'm a preacher, but I can't be Billy Graham. I just can't. And I can't even be my mentor, who was Dr. Bill Bennett. I can't be Bill Bennett. But I can be the best example of Josh Franklin that the world has ever seen. And you can be the best you that the world has ever seen. To be clean, to be set apart for God, for his purposes, only his purposes. And not only that, not only to be separated, but then also to be useful. God, what do you want me to do? What did you gift me to do? I love the imagery of discovering your spiritual gifts as that of a baby discovering his limbs. Little by little, he begins to see, I've got hands. Then he shoves them in his mouth. You know, I've got toes, and he puts those in his mouth. And he begins to, and then he starts to lift up, and he's bobbling his head, and it's just beautiful to see how he's learning, these are the tools at my disposal, and yet at the same time for you, what are those tools that you have that other people don't have? What are those gifts that God has placed inside of you? He did. He placed it inside of you. I was telling someone this past week that before I gave my life to Christ, I had read 2 books. And I was 14 years old. I had read 2 books. And yet, once I gave my life to Christ, I had an insatiable thirst and drive to study and to prepare and to read and to chew on concepts. And you say, what is that? That's nothing more than a spiritual gift. And now I can accept that and begin to work in that and to say, God, this is what you've purposed me to do. This is my gift to give. Useful for the master. Are you living with unconfessed sin in your life? You know, the Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That phrase means if I tuck sin in my heart, if I hide it, I hide it from God and hide it from other people, God says, I won't hear you. Sin breaks that flow of relationship between you and God. You can't hear him like you used to hear him. You can't talk to him like you used to talk to him. His word doesn't inspire you like it once did. Is that where you're at? Is it time for God's holy finger to touch on that area that you've been running from God with, that you have decided, I'm not going to deal with that? Is it time for you to deal with that and say, oh God, forgive me. This is sin. This is sin. Have you ever really separated yourself from God? Have you said, God, whatever you want to do in my life is fine with me? It's almost like you have signed your name at the bottom of the sheet of paper, and it's a blank sheet of paper. And then you turn it over to God and say, God, fill in the details. You want to be used by God? Don't pray that. You can pray that if you want to, but pray also, pray, God, make me usable. How do you make yourself usable? To be available. Say, God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whoever you want me to talk to, I'll talk to. I am available. I am here for you. I am separated for you. I am consecrated to you. I'm sanctified for you. You and you alone. And have you learned your giftedness to the place where you realize you may be a hammer and not a screwdriver? You may be a saw and not a plane. What do you do then? Last thing. What do you do then? You say, I've done all of those, Pastor Josh. Then what does this passage say? Look at this. The last little verse in 21, it says this. Prepared for every good work. You want to be used by God? Many of us have that heartbeat, don't we? We want to say, God, I want to be used by you. I want to be your hands and feet. I want you to use me. Are you prepared? I would go into my dad's office all during the day. Sometimes he would just have to sit in his office for a while and wait for some people to come to him. And so whenever he had some kind of lag time, I would go in and I would see him or whatever. This was his pattern. He would have a sharpening stone, and then he'd have his little pocket knife. And maybe this is your pattern as well, but he would just be sharpening that pocket knife, constantly sharpening that pocket knife. I thought he was just bored. You know, I thought he needed something else to do. You know, do we need to play a card game or something? But no, he was just sharpening his pocket knife. And you say, why? Why? Because when it's time to use the pocket knife, it's too late to get it sharp. It's too late. It's either sharp and it's ready or it's not. And I know a lot of us, we're not as sharp as we need to be. We know what we ought to do. We know how we can get sharper. And yet we choose to say, I'm going to go do something else instead of staying sharp for God. You say, well, I'll wait until God tells me to do something and then I'll get ready. You're too late. You must prepare. A call to ministry is a call to prepare for ministry. A call, a desire. You say, I think God wants me to do this. Well, then begin to sharpen yourself for that. One of the great things that I learned was from my mother-in-law, who she told me that I needed to go to school. And I said, I don't need to go to school. Jesus can use me without that. All I got to do is just tell people about Jesus and preach. That's all I got to do, and then God will use me. And maybe that's one of your mindsets right here today, and I'm just here to tell you, a call to preach is a call to prepare to preach. Sharpen your axe. Abraham Lincoln said, if I had 10 minutes to chop down a tree, I'd spend the first 8 minutes sharpening my axe. Jesus prepared 30 years for a 3-year ministry. What about us? You say, I know what my gifts are. I'm here. No unconfessed sin in my life. I've put my yes on the table time and time again. God knows He can count on me. Are you preparing? Are you sharpening? Because when the time comes, you're either ready or you're not. A last story, and then I'm done. Lydia and I, we were in chorus together. And our senior year of high school, we would go down to Disney World. We went down to Disney World to perform for some competition down there. And then as a group of about 50 or 60 or so. And I remember there was only 4 of us guys in chorus. And then all of the rest of them were girls because that's the way chorus is, right? And I didn't have a problem with it, but I was dating Lydia, you know, so I really, you know, we had a great time down there. But 4 guys, and we were in the same bunk, and we were in the same room. And I remember this young man who was an atheist at the time, and he was almost a belligerent atheist, somebody who continued to make fun of, and he just had a rougher side to him. And we were bunking with him. You know what? One of those nights, I was totally floored by it. He opened the door for me to talk to him about the Lord. He asked me a couple of questions about the existence of God. He asked me a couple of questions about evolution. And I began to share with him what God's Word said. And then I would share with him what other scientists would say, other scholars. And I just begin to share with him. You say, how did you know those things? Because I had prepared. I didn't think I was preparing for that moment. I didn't think I was necessarily going to have that interaction. I really didn't think much of it after I was done talking to him. You say, did he fall on his knees and give his life to Christ? Not then. It was 2 years later. Lydia and I were married and we were going to church. It was at a church service, and all of a sudden this man comes up to me. He's got this glow on his face. And he says, Josh Franklin, I've been meaning to get up with you. And I said, what is it? He said, that conversation that we had that night. He said, God used it. And I began to search for God. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I've been walking for Him for over a year and a half now. And I just wanted to let you know, thank you for sharing with me. Just a conversation that you're either ready for or you're not. You're prepared or you're not. We can pray, God, make me usable. We can pray, oh God, I'm ready to do anything. But if you're not prepared, He can't use you like He wants to. How about you? Can He use you? Or are you just going to be used for those ordinary purposes that He's talking about in this passage? No, the purpose of this passage is to tell each and every one of us He doesn't want any of us used for ordinary purposes. He wants each of us to strive forward to becoming a vessel that God can use, a vessel of honor. Let's pray. Father, we've heard a message in song. We've heard a message in drama. Lord, we've had a message from Your Word. And Jesus, You died for us on the cross. Any person in this room who has never said yes to You, who has never placed their faith where You place their sins on Jesus. Lord, I pray that You're speaking to their heart right now. Open their heart. Help them see the condition that they're in. Help them see that they are like the 10 individuals were up here. They were in chains. Maybe they don't even feel like they're in chains, but they are. Without You, they are in chains and in bondage. Anyone who sins is a slave of sin, is what Jesus said. Lord, even though we feel like we're in the driver's seat of our life, things could never be better. Without You, things could never be worse. Father, I pray for that individual. You'd help them realize that You are calling them. And You're saying today is the day of salvation. You're reaching out to them with Your hand of love and saying, take My hand. I will come into your life. I will transform your life. You'll be a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't just need to turn over a new leaf. You need new life. Dear God, I pray that You would speak to that individual this morning who is a believer, who always has the desire that You would use them in some special way, and yet they continue to stay in the chains of their sinfulness. Oh, nobody else knows about it, but You know about it and they know about it. Help them see that the sinful patterns in their life are draining them of their strength. You don't want them to be a slave of that sin. You want them to live in victory over that sin. They are Your child. And yet they continue to live for their flesh. They continue to live for themselves. They continue to place something else in the first place of their life other than You. I pray, Father, that this message speaks to them. I pray, Lord, that even if they make the place that they're standing or sitting an altar right now, Lord, I just ask You that You'd help them get right with You, to confess it, to not just disguise it and not just explain it away, but to confess it. God, You know that those feelings that I've had are feelings, and I've been acting on those feelings, and that's sin. That unforgiveness that I'm harboring, it's sin. Bitterness that I'm harboring and holding on to, it's sin. Sins of the flesh, Lord God, speak to us. You are willing to forgive. Lord God, for that individual who has not turned loose and given their all to You yet, help them realize that Your will for their life is what their will for their life would be if they had enough sense to will it. If they had enough sense to see what you see, they would say yes. What are you telling them to do? I pray you give us the strength to say yes to you. Lord, help us realize that we have gifts that other people don't have, and live in that giftedness. And Lord, I pray you help us consecrate ourselves to a place where we will prepare for every good work. We will prepare ourselves. We will sharpen our axe. We will be as sharp as we possibly can to be a valuable tool that you can use. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. This altar is open.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.